We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kyle Madsen with Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and I'm here to talk to you about my new favorite thing about football season, and that's Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy sports, the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's easy, exciting, and that's my two favorite things to have in daily fantasy football. There's quick withdrawals, it's easy gameplay, there's so many selections of players and stat types that make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And I know you're probably worried about like daily fantasy sports. Oh, there's pros and there's sharks and there's all these people that dedicate their lives to just winning a daily fantasy. Well, no. This is just you. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 players to create an entry. And those 2 to 6 players, you pick more than or less than on their stat projections. And then you watch the winnings roll in. It is so easy. And Prize Picks offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts. There's like Taco Tuesday, where every Tuesday Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25%. That gives you even more value. And my very favorite part of all of this, Prize Picks offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. So go to prizepicks.com/candlestick and use code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Go to prizepicks.com/candlestick and use code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. You can jump in and get Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, George Kittle. Slam the more than and root like heck for those guys to go more than those projections. I'm telling you, it's the very best way to consume football. So prizepicks.com/candlestick and use code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me now, world traveler Chris Biederman. And we're going to, it's a little Super Bowl happy hour. We're chilling. We're talking some Niners stuff. Jed York said something interesting today. Chris, I want to run by you the chat I had with Evan Giddings from 95.7 The Game on our previous episode and just kind of get your quick thoughts on that. Niners practice report came out. Eric Armstead didn't practice. We'll talk about what that means. Plenty to get into. But before we do that, we, of course, are sponsored by Lamb Chops. Is the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. If you are watching on the stream, Chris is rocking that ash gray hoodie, which I wear whenever I have an excuse to wear it. It is my very favorite hoodie. It's in the wash right now, so I don't have it on, but that would have been weird if we were matching. But it's comfortable. It's high quality. We tell you every time, and we mean it every time, and we love them. Go to sglambchops.com, promo code Candlestick20. Get over there now. I know their fall and winter collection stuff is like selling out. So get over there, get some sweats. My dad, it's actually his birthday today. Happy birthday, Dad. I record this on February 1. He calls them his favorite sweatpants, the best sweatpants he's ever owned at sglambchops.com.
I would agree with them. The zippered pockets, the comfort, the quality. I would live in this hoodie if I could, honestly. It is so comfortable. It's perfectly sized for the winter time. Like, this thing is, you just cannot beat it at all. So shout out to Lamb Chops.
I napped in it one day. It's the best nap I ever took. Because I threw the hoodie up, and in the hoodie's a little oversized. Bro, it was like sleeping in a cloud. It's the best thing. SGLambChops.com, promo code Candlestick20.
Can't tell you how many times recently I've done that on the plane.
Oh, God, just I bet.
Throwing the ear pods in. hoodie up, and then I got the little neck pad.
And you're
undefeated.
You're cruising. You're cruising.
Cruising.
Follow them on Instagram as well, at SGLambChops. Join the herd. We're also sponsored by Cooperage Brewing, Candlestick Chronicles, Hazy IPA, Keg Slayer, Sparkle Pants, Cider. Seltzer, not cider. Seltzer. I think I said cider last episode too. Seltzer. Sparkle Pants Seltzer. It's all delicious. It is your favorite brewery's favorite brewery. Good people, good hang, good beer. You can order their beer online at cooperagebrewing.com, of course. They had an NFC Championship game watch party, which I wish I had known because I might have pulled up to that instead of going to the game.
It was probably cracking.
I have no doubt that it was. They had a big screen in there. So check them out, cooperagebrewing.com. If you're 21 and up and in the state of California, you can order a case of beer. You can do a mix and match case, so you can do a variety pack. If you know there's one beer you want, maybe the Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA. It is delightful. You can get a case of that delivered right to your front door. You sign for it, and you have 24 beers. You didn't have to leave your house. The single best way to acquire the single best beer.
Candlestick Chronicles Hazy, as of this moment, checking on their website, out of stock.
Typical. So. I mean, it's so popular. It's hard to keep it on the shelves.
I mean, it's, you know, football season, Super Bowl. I'd imagine a lot of people brought it to their tailgate on Sunday for the NFC Championship game. So not entirely surprising, but shout out to Cooperage for their continued support. And we will see if they make any more Candy Cron Hazy IPA. Maybe it'll be on the shelf until next football season. We'll see.
Fingers crossed. All right, let's dive in to the Candlestick Chronicles Super Bowl Happy Hour episode.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown!
Close has got him, and a sack him back inside the 30.
All right, I know you were locked in to the last episode already, but I'm going to recap it for the listener. Maybe if they missed the last episode, I had Evan Giddings on from 95.7 The Game, and we just did 2023 49ers versus 2019 49ers. And just from you, when I ask you that, Chris, I don't want to relitigate the entire conversation. I just want to get your thoughts on it because I'm interested in what you have to say on it. Any initial thoughts on which team you would pick?
I'd really have to think hard about it. I think I would pick the 2023 team, but I think ultimately where my take falls is that this 2023 offense is better than the 2019 offense, but the 2019 defense is better than this 2023 defense.
Literally, particularly where given, we landed,
particularly given where the 49ers have been in the playoffs and just not really stopping the run, not being as dominant. You remember in the playoffs in 2019, like the Niners defense was just flat out dominant. It was awesome. It was their backbone. It was like any time it was third and six or any passing down on third down, like, and D Ford was in the game, it was a sack. It was going to be a sack, or the quarterback was going to be pressured into throwing a pick or forced fumble or whatever. And it just, the Niners defense just doesn't feel like it's anywhere near that dominant. And on paper, it probably should be, right? Like it feels like just looking at the roster, like, you know, I think DeForest Buckner is substantially better than Javon Hargrave. Buckner's more of an every down player, equally as good against the run as he was at pushing the pocket as a pass rusher. Hargrave's much more of a pass rushing type specialist. I think comparing Richard Sherman, late career Richard Sherman, coming off the Achilles injury, and Charvarius Ward, I think Ward's probably better, like physically, maybe a better player right now. But who Sherman was to the team in terms of a veteran leader and somebody who could basically call out the offense's play based on pre-snap alignment,
right,
and, you know, receiver splits and all of that stuff. He was just, you know, it's such a cliche to talk about a guy being like a coach on the field, but Sherman was so valuable. His mind was so valuable to that defense in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And I do think Jimmy Ward is just a big loss. Like not having Jimmy Ward right now is a really substantial loss for the Niners because, you know, I think Diamador Lenore has played fine in the slot, but just think about the lack of depth the 49ers have dealt with at safety all season, how Jimmy Ward would have helped there, how early in the year they were trying to figure out their slot situation. Jimmy Ward could have certainly helped there too. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a great player. And when, you know, when what part of Robert Saleh's game plan in the Super Bowl after 2019 was to throw Jimmy Ward on Travis Kelce. And that was a much better version of Travis Kelce. And Jimmy Ward could cover a man to man. And, you know, Robert Saleh would gas up Jimmy Ward all the time and say he's arguably the best cover guy in the NFL, full stop. Like Robert Saleh said that a lot about Jimmy Ward. And Jimmy Ward is playing safety. And that's pretty high praise for a safety, right? You typically think of like, you know, when you have those conversations about guys now, you're like Sauce Gardner, Sertan, like whoever, like there are all these great corners, right? That you just talk about like pure cover guys. But like Robert Saleh would put Jimmy Ward in that air, which is pretty unique for a safety, but I think he was deserving of it. And Robert Saleh basically put his money where his mouth was by saying, yeah, we're going to have Jimmy Ward cover the best tight end arguably in NFL history in the Super Bowl on third downs when we're running man to man. And the Niners don't really have that option now.
Nope.
Right. So I think there's also, when comparing the teams, there's value to experience. That 2019 team was young and dumb, more or less, in comparison to this one. Right. You had George Kittle in his third year in the league, still on his rookie contract. Fred Warner was in his second year in the league. Nick Bosa was a rookie. Deebo Samuel was a rookie. You know, Emmanuel Sanders was like really the only guy, and Joe Staley too. Those are really the only guys with any substantial playoff experience. And Jimmy Garoppolo had playoff experience as Tom Brady's backup, but that's not
right.
Not he wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. Not the same. And so you go through, you know, 4 years later, and you know, three NFC Championship games later, this is a much more experienced group overall. So while I think I would lean 2023 just for the experience factor, and I do think, like, look, the offense is just feels so much better now than it did in 2019. So if the, like, for me, if the 49ers win, for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be with the offense. Like, I think they're going to have to win a shootout. I don't think it's going to be one of these games where they, you know, I think even though the Chiefs have not been the same high scoring Chiefs that we've been used to over the last few years, I think the 49ers defense has been problematic enough to where, like, for the Niners to win, I would imagine they have to get to at least 28 points. And I think it's going to be really, really tough, because I think beating Patrick Mahomes in his prime in a Super Bowl is probably the biggest challenge you could have, even though their offense isn't what we're used to seeing from them. I just think Patrick Mahomes is that good that that's going to be a serious challenge. And I think the offense is more up for matching the Chiefs punch for punch than the defense is likely to, you know, hold them to 17 points or fewer.
Dude, here's what it comes down to for me. It's this easy. The 2019 defense did about as good as you can against Patrick Mahomes, save for what the Bucs did to him, but they were down like both of their starting tackles and maybe even a backup tackle. Their offensive line was going through it. But the Niners defense in 19 did about as well as you can against Patrick Mahomes, and they still put up 31 points because the 49ers offense could not hold on to the football. And Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And Christian McCaffrey is better than whatever they were doing at running back. And their receiving core is better now. And that's what it comes down to for me. Like you said, if you're at some point going to have to go throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes, and who are you trusting to do that? And that's, I think, what it comes
to. It's kind of crazy that, like, you think about it, like, just it like off the top of your head, you're like, oh yeah, the Niners were in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs 4 years ago. Like, it should be like largely the same team. There are only eight guys who are still on the team who were in that Super Bowl. It's Debo. It's Kittle.
Nick Bosa. I have the list in front of me right here.
Fred Warner.
Yep.
Nobody on the offensive line. Juszczyk.
Mm-hmm.
That's five. Armstead, six.
You have one.
Is Kevin
Givens
on that team?
Yep, he played one game.
So I don't know if that one even counts. But you think, well, like,
I counted,
oh, yeah.
So real quick, I wrote about this at NinersRide.com. I had 11, including guys who are / were on IR.
Okay.
It's Bosa, Debo, Kittle, Juszczyk. Ross Dwelly was on that team, currently on IR.
Ross the Boss, shout out.
It was Mitch Wishnowsky's rookie year. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Eric Armstead. Jason Verrett was on IR for both Super Bowls. And then Kevin Givens.
So, I mean, but when you think about it, you're like, oh, Niners, Chiefs, like, it'll be similar. It's like, nah, it's like, it's not, that's a few core guys are still there, yeah. But it's mostly an entirely new roster.
Oh, can I, along these lines, something that annoys me, non-Taylor Swift reaction edition?
Oh, sure. Is this a Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox snub take?
No. No,
okay.
I'm saving that 10 to noon ESPN 1320. Tap in.
Yeah.
No, I am annoyed by the idea, based on what you just said, that Niners Chiefs is somehow devoid of storylines because we've seen it before. Like, yeah, two good teams are back in the Super Bowl. That's what happens sometimes. This is not. It's two very, very different version of the Chiefs, very different version of the 49ers. And you have the guy who was Mr. Irrelevant last fucking year playing against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Like, what? Why is that not? Patrick Mahomes going for his third Super Bowl in 6 years as a starter. Like, this is fascinating. And just because it's not the Lions and Lamar Jackson, we're bored, man, that's trash.
It's going to rate just fine. They're going to be like 115, 120 million people that are going to watch. It's like,
it's going to do gonna, okay.
It's going to do no, okay.
It just, right. No. It's just, it's so dumb. People are like, oh, the matchup nobody wanted. Like, all right, man, sure. I guess if you're watching for the uniforms, then yeah, no doubt.
I like the Chiefs. Yeah. Lily's agreeing with you. She's, I don't know what's up with her, man. Maybe it's just, she's in postseason mode. Just like the intensity's just ratcheted up a little bit more.
She's got that dog in her for sure. But,
yeah, I think it's a really good Super Bowl. I mean, we're obviously biased because we have a Niners podcast, but in terms of, you know, like, if you were just to, I mean, what would be a better matchup from like a eyeballs storyline perspective? Would it be the Ravens? Because you could also say we just watch the Niners and Ravens play.
Well, yeah, it would be Lions Ravens. Lions first trip to the Super Bowl.
Lions, yeah.
And it gives everybody another 2 weeks to talk about how awesome Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah.
And that would be, if you're watching to see something you've never seen before, then you're going to be disappointed a lot because typically the good teams go to the championship game. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I generally think, like, I'm of the belief that the league and the numbers usually reflect well for, like, legacy franchises, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Chiefs are a legacy franchise in, like, the grand sense, but they have been in, like, a lot of Super Bowls, so they're, like, getting to that point where the Niners were, obviously, in, like, the 80s and 90s. The Niners are a legacy franchise. Like, the Niners are in that group with the Cowboys, Packers, Steelers, as like if they're in a postseason game, they're just going to draw massive numbers. It's just like what they are. And I think Mahomes is getting the Chiefs to that point too.
What do you give me for this comparison? The 49ers are the Boston Celtics and the Chiefs are the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
Like legacy franchise, so where this group, this current group hasn't won one yet, but they're back there after falling short a couple times. And the Chiefs are the team that has been around a long time, but I wouldn't necessarily call them a legacy franchise. Now they have, you know, the guy who's revolutionizing the sport. They've won some titles.
Yeah, I dig that.
It's not a direct comparison, but that's kind of where I'm at.
So is Joe Montana Larry Bird in this exercise?
Joe Montana Larry. Yeah.
Something like that. Okay. I dig that.
He's either Larry Bird or Kevin McHale. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the other funny thing, and it's been pointed out in the chat too, and we've talked about this, but LT Simple Jack says, it blows my mind how numb people are to how insanely cool, unprecedented Brock Purdy's story is. Yeah. That's like the thing that so many people are caught up in the discourse. Like, is Brock Purdy good? Can you win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy? It's like, Mr. Relevant has never thrown a pass in the league.
Right.
And he's in his second year as a starting quarterback, and he's in the Super Bowl.
I tweeted about this, and people were like, well, Kurt Warner was undrafted. So, like, okay, there's one. You've given me one.
They literally made a movie about Kurt Warner.
Right.
It was a movie script.
Like, undrafted quarterbacks have thrown passes. Okay, how many have gone to the Super Bowl in their second year?
Right.
One.
We're losing, man, the forest for the trees in, like, the social media debate show era.
Totally. Can I bitch about one more thing along these same lines? Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Carl Towns made it over Domas either, but
look, points, rebounds, assists, wins. No. Have you seen their effective field goal percentages? I'll wait. Domas is like if Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain had a baby. And he's just out there hooping. No, anyways.
You're short on.
No, so Lamar Jackson faced plants in the playoffs again in the AFC title game. And one take was, well, this is their first big game. So what can you, like, really, which is stupid. But the take is, well, I mean, Peyton Manning at year 9. Oh, look at, I mean, this guy had to wait this long to get one. And Lamar has time. And he does. He does. He does. He absolutely does. I'm not writing off Lamar Jackson. But then flip the page to Brock Purdy, and it's like, well, if he doesn't win one this year, I mean, punt him into the sun, his career's over. And that's what I can't get behind. We're judging Brock Purdy's entire existence as a pro quarterback, his entire first 21 regular season starts and 6 playoff starts, where he's 4-1 in his first 5, mind you. We're punting all of that if he loses to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, or if his team loses to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I can't reconcile those two things.
You're either the GOAT or trash. That's really it.
Unless you're Lamar Jackson.
Well, sure. But if Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, like, he's adding to his resume as the GOAT. Mm-hmm. He's going to be lauded and everything like that. And then the other side of the conversation is going to be, well, do the 49ers, do they have to hold on to Brock Purdy, or should they go elsewhere because it couldn't be Mahomes? It's like, man, sometimes it's as easy. Like, I think a lot about, like, I know I like rail against probabilities and like using probability models and shit mm-hmm. like that. But like, mm-hmm. I think about blackjack a lot in sports.
Okay.
Sometimes you have a 19 and you win. Sometimes you have a 19 and the dealer flips 20 or 21 and you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you can do is play the cards you're dealt, and sometimes they're good enough to win and sometimes they aren't. Mm-hmm. And if a 19 loses, that doesn't mean that you have to hit on 19 from now on. And that the approximation of football is like, just because 19 loses means, okay, we got to find a new quarterback who can actually beat Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Right. Like, no, the probability says you still have to play, just play your 19.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, it's there are a lot of metaphors for like cards and blackjack you can make, but I'm very much of like the thinking, like, who gives you a chance? Like, mm-hmm. who is your best chance to win a Super Bowl? Because you, I know we like define success and it's like Super Bowl or bust, but we define success of whether or not they actually win the Super Bowl or not. But like, sometimes, like, Patrick Mahomes lost a Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs didn't go replace him. They still believed in him. And then they obviously paid that off with winning another one. Like, it's all you can do in the NFL is try to give yourself the best chance to win by creating the best roster, finding the best quarterback for your system, and going as far as you can that way. And mm-hmm. one team will have somebody who is a GOAT, and the other team will have to try to fill in the gaps elsewhere. And if you lose to the GOAT, that's not such a bad thing that you need to completely tear it down and fire Kyle Shanahan and go do everything else. It's like, I don't know. It's just that there are layers to, you know, like, put it this way. 26, 27 teams would take the 49ers' problems, even if the Niners got blown out by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So how many other teams would love to just get to the conference title game, just be happy with getting to the conference title game just as an organization because of how much it raises their profile and how much money it makes them mm-hmm. get to the Super Bowl, even if it means getting blown out?
Do you know who would kill to be the 49ers right now? Jerry Jones.
27 teams.
Jerry Jones.
Right. Exactly.
Would kill to be where the 49ers are right now. Yeah, it's exactly. Just it's such a silly thing. And I know it's born out of the thought process that, like, Brock Purdy and the 49ers are lucky to be here. Like, they can't, there's no way they can replicate this again with a quarterback who's as awful as Brock Purdy is. And I know
they've
that's
been
the
four
thought
of the
process.
Last five NFC championship games.
Dude. They traded three first-round picks to go get a quarterback who is no longer on the team after 2 years. Or excuse me, this is year three. Got traded before year three, and they're starting Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback in his second year, going to the Super Bowl. After overcoming a 17-point second-half deficit in the NFC Championship.
There will be books written about this 49ers team, whether or not they win. Yeah, dude, and totally. We will look back. We will look back and be like, man, it is crazy that the Trey Lance thing happened and mm-hmm. they somehow stumbled into Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they win a title, or, you know, God forbid, titles with Brock Purdy, there is going to be a dramatic rethinking of how teams are built in the NFL and how quarterback play is evaluated in the draft. In fact, I think there's already probably a change in how quarterbacks are being evaluated in the draft.
Well, it happens every year, though, because, like, even 2019 or at, like, the 2020 draft, everyone was looking for the next Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, right. Right. No doubt. They still are, by the way.
Right. And everyone's looking for the next Fred Warner, and everyone's looking for the next George Kittle.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things I'm interested to see, not to turn the page on this year, or the next 3 years or whatever. But you just mentioned it. You have Deebo Samuel, completely different player at his position than anyone else. George Kittle, not different, but really a multifaceted blocking beast who can create explosive plays as a pass catcher after the catch. Kyle Juszczyk, best fullback in the league, super multifaceted. Fred Warner, like, prototype at his position. Dre Greenlaw, same kind of deal. It's a lot of guys who are just prototypical. Yeah, that's the exact type of guy you want at that position, but they have it at like nine positions. It's wild.
Yeah.
They've done a good job staying at the forefront of what the league is looking like.
I think the biggest advantage the 49ers have in the Super Bowl is, like, just the number of dudes that they have. Like, how many dudes do the Chiefs have?
Oh,
it's like Mahomes.
Gosh, this could be a whole episode next week. Go ahead, keep going.
It's Mahomes, Kelsey, maybe a couple offensive linemen on
Mahomes,
offense, and that's kind of it.
Mahomes, Kelsey.
I think Pacheco's fine. I don't think he's like a dude.
Pacheco, he's a guy trending towards being a dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Defensively, they have Snead and Chris Jones. And I like their secondary a lot, but, like, how many of them are, like, dudes?
Drew Tranquil is good, linebacker.
Yeah. Willie Gay is good, but he's banged
Trent
up.
Trent McDuffie, slot corner, he can play.
He can play, but I like in terms of like dudes, like
right, Pro
Christian
Bowlers.
Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner,
Trent Williams,
Debo, Ayuk, Trent Williams. Like the Niners just have more dudes.
The Chiefs had Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Creed Humphrey, their center, is really good.
Creed Humphrey's good. He's better than Jake Brendel.
And bold. And then Chris Jones. Those are the Pro Bowlers on the Chiefs.
And the Niners had how many?
Nine.
Five? Nine. Okay.
With like 22 alternates. Shout out to the fan vote.
I would definitely take Harrison Butker over Jake Moody.
That was the other in our 2019 comp. It's like special teams give me 19 all day.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Oh man. Did you have anyone who can catch a ball besides Kelce?
Rice is good.
Rashee Rice has come on nicely. Marquez Valdes-Scantling out of nowhere came up with a huge catch in the AFC title game after dropping everything all year. I think Mecole Hardman might be a huge factor on jet sweeps and stuff. He killed the 49ers in 2022, if you remember that game.
I do.
Levi's. Well, a lot of pop
passes.
Sky
was falling after that game, and then the Niners won basically, what?
They won out.
10, 11 games in a row?
Yeah. No, they ended up passing the franchise record for consecutive wins.
Yeah.
Over the two seasons. Crazy.
Jerick McKinnon revenge game.
Oh dang, talk about it. Blaine Gabbert revenge game.
Oh, little pieces of gold.
Oh boy, see, we're mining the storylines that no one else is talking about. Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. sglambchops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at sglambchops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in. Maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that. And it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kid sizes on here too.
Yes. That is
and everything's correct. Unisex. We should point out also. So no matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from sglambchops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to sglambchops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today.
Speaking of storylines, we want to talk about what Jed York said in the in the media room today.
Yeah, we do. I wonder. Oh, can I? Let me see if I can get this pulled up on our stream and then play the video off the stream.
Oh, you can. Yeah,
I'm definitely going to try it. Here we go.
Technology.
Here's the stream technology. I should have practiced this beforehand. There's that. Oh, I have to share the screen. So, oh, there we go. Present. This is good.
Present.
This is good.
This is really good audio. Shout out to everyone listening on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you everybody for listening. We appreciate you greatly.
Oh,
okay, there's that.
We're loading.
Here it is. There he is. Let's go.
I said his honesty, his directness. You know, I mean, we haven't.
Is it really playing?
Talking about Kyle Shanahan.
About Brock. Yeah. But, I mean, that's a good example of Kyle's directness. You know, last year in preseason, I think week one of training camp, which you have a quarterback that we're paying, I think, $20 million to, You have a guy that you drafted with investing three first round picks into, and he grabs me after practice. He's like, hey man, we got to talk. And that's really not a good thing when coach tells you got to talk. Like, all right, what's up? And he's like, I think our third string quarterback's our best quarterback. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, well, he's like, obviously, like, we've invested in Trey. Like, Trey's doing a good job. Like, we're going to do everything that we can. We're not going to change that. And we're not going to change the chart, the depth chart. But, like, I think Brock will end up being our quarterback at some point. And, like, he didn't force it. Right? You had two injuries, and that's how Brock ended up playing. But he's always honest. Even if it's not, like, one thing that owners don't love to hear when they've invested money and or draft picks or both into people, that the last pick in the draft is the guy that we think is the best. That's generally not great news. But he's honest, and he let it play out the right way. You know, Brock, I think his first game was against the Chiefs, and
wasn't great.
He had some mop up time. And Brock.
Oh, yeah, against the Chiefs. Yeah,
he
yeah.
threw one ball into the stands. And, you know, I may or may not have had some sarcastic comments for Kyle post game. But when Brock took over last year, like, I think we had a calm about us, but there was a sense that, like, nothing catches you by surprise. And again, like, you might not love everything that Kyle tells you, but he's always open and honest, especially in the moment. And he's very clear about that with me. It's like, look, I will tell you exactly what I think of a player, a situation, a coach in the moment, but that might not be how I feel 3 weeks from now. So don't hold me to, this is what I said about somebody in training camp when we're in week six of the season. Like, ask me in the moment what you want to ask about whoever.
All right, that's enough. We got the gist. Thanks, Jed. Shout out to 95.7 The Game for that audio. Your thoughts.
So that's, I mean, it's interesting that it was apparent to Kyle Shanahan that early on, right? Because at this point, Jimmy Garoppolo was like playing catch on the sidelines of training camp and was in a holding pattern because it was very clear the 49ers were trying to trade him. And Trey Lance was getting all the reps with the starters because he was considered the starting quarterback. And at that point, even the first week of training camp, Brock Purdy was competing with Nate Sudfeld for the third or the backup job, third string job, whatever it is. Like it was basically assumed. I remember covering that training camp and like myself and all the other media members had just assumed that like Brock Purdy is going to be on the practice squad.
Right.
Like he's just going to be their next Nick Mullins, like the guy who's just going to develop on the practice squad. And then they go to Minnesota and have those joint practices. And then in the preseason game against Minnesota, you hear Greg Pappas say, you know, this is a real competition between Brock Purdy and Nate Sudfeld. And I was like, wait, what?
Right.
And because when, you know, and I'd watch all the practices and I thought Brock looked good. Like I remember looking over, I was like, Brock's making some throws, man. Like he's like hitting dudes in stride. Like it's obviously a completely different skill set. It's not like he's got a howitzer attached to his shoulder or anything like that.
Right.
But he's accurate and it's always catchable and he's throwing tight spirals and all of that. So in hindsight, like I probably should have considered that more heavily. My assumption had just kind of been like, yeah, it's the last pick in the draft. He's like not particularly impressive physically.
Right.
Like this is I've seen this before. This is Nick Mullins. Like he's going to be on the
totally
practice squad.
Right.
But I do think like bigger picture, and we've talked about this countless times on the podcast going back years now. What was the biggest indictment you and I have had about Kyle Shanahan as a whole? It's been his inability to find a championship level quarterback. Right. For all of his X's and O's excellence, for being the standard bearer and the guy who creates the offense that everyone else in the league wants to replicate by hiring his assistants or members of his coaching tree. He was always making missteps in terms of the way he was approaching the 49ers quarterback situation. The 49ers didn't even take a hard look at Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson in the 2017 draft because they were so content on making a push to sign Kirk Cousins in free agency the following offseason that they didn't even feel like they needed to look at those guys. And they ended up drafting Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster that year, right? Obviously, hindsight's 2020, but that was a clear mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a mistake to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it was a mistake to pay for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Nope.
But there were a lot of smart people making the case that, like, man, five games is probably not a big enough sample to be giving Jimmy Garoppolo a market-setting contract. And at the time, it was, you know, I argued for it because it was like, he looked really good. He looked really, really good at the end of 2017 in those five games. He was making plays outside of structure. Like, I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo ever got back to the level of football that he was playing in 2017. And I think
right before he got hurt.
Yeah, that's fair. But I felt like after the knee injury, he was just not the same guy because Jimmy Garoppolo always had like bounce to him. Like he was really tough to like, he would make a bunch of plays, like avoiding rushers and being kind of a gunslinger before the knee injury.
He played with the fluidity that Brock Purdy plays with.
Yeah. And then after it, he just, the comfort level never quite seemed the same.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm not saying that Jimmy Garoppolo was this massive mistake, but the 49ers basically admitted a few years later, and Kyle Shanahan basically admitted once they started looking at Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, it's like, okay, it's time to, like, we got to move on from Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's not our guy. So in overall, the Garoppolo decision proved to be a mistake because they were kicking the tires on Matt Stafford, on Tom Brady, excuse me, and then they ended up investing all they invested in Trey Lance. Also a massive mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I were fairly critical of the way they handled Trey Lance because he just needed reps and Kyle Shanahan was pretty unwilling to give him those reps. Mm-hmm. And we were hard on Kyle, right? Like, we were hard on Shanahan. It's like, man, you're such a good offensive coach, but you can't nail down this quarterback thing.
Right.
Like, you just can't. And like, losing to Patrick Mahomes after not scouting him in 2017 was just like, man, is this going to be a defining team building mistake for the 49ers? Are they like never going to get over the hump because they were so intent on signing Kirk Cousins in 2018 that they completely just ignored the idea of drafting Patrick Mahomes in 2017 when obviously they needed a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
If they win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, it feels like Shanahan's vindicated from that, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea that Shanahan could not identify and develop a quarterback that could win him a Super Bowl always felt like the biggest indictment, particularly given how many swings they took at trying to nail down the position.
Mm-hmm.
If they do it, ironically, with the last pick in the draft, which, you know, the guy they did not give a market-setting contract to, the guy they did not invest three first-round draft picks in, if it's if that's the guy that wins the Super Bowl, there's certainly a level of irony in that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it vindicates, I think, Kyle Shanahan from all the mistakes and swings and misses on the quarterback position. And I think ultimately that's a defining part of his legacy.
Yeah, man. Like, winning cures everything. I know that's a cliche, but in this instance, after everything you just laid out, if the 49ers win the Super Bowl this year, and whether they win another one or not, it doesn't matter, because nobody's going to go, hey, remember the Kyle Shanahan era? Yeah. The Trey Lance trade. They're going to go, no, he won that Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. They're not going to go, hey, remember when they paid Jimmy Garoppolo in 2018? Remember when they drafted Solomon Thomas instead of a quarterback? That's all off the table. It's only on the table now. It only gets discussed now because they haven't been able to figure it out. And if they win a title with Brock, that alleviates the question of, can you win a championship with Brock Purdy? Because the answer is clearly yes. And every team, dude, the Jets, the Bears, currently the Carolina Panthers, the Arizona Cardinals. Like, pick a team. Or they're dying to find a quarterback that's going to take them to that level of success.
Right.
I didn't mean to throw Kyler Murray under the bus, but I was trying to think of teams that hadn't won a Super Bowl ever or recently.
You think Kyler's watching the live stream right now? I think he's locked in.
Yeah, he's probably pretty dialed. So my
wonder
bad,
what
dog.
The Niners pods are saying.
Nobody better be throwing me under the bus on a 49ers pod this week.
Oh, damn it. Oh,
what are the odds?
Adds Kyle Madsen to his list next to his desk.
It's like Kyle Madsen, Cliff Kingsbury, Mark Kotze. Good.
No, I just think they're like the whole quarterback discussion surrounding Kyle Shanahan and all the swings they took. Like, if he ends up being right on Brock, that is a stroke of genius after a bunch of like swings and misses.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I've seen it phrased like, oh, they got lucky on Brock Purdy. Like, I don't know. No, they didn't. Brock Purdy didn't randomly stumble into their facility one day. They had a draft pick and they picked him. They didn't luck out. Like they purposely called his name to get him in their building.
They were lucky in the sense that like he lasted, but that's sort of what like playing the market is, right? Yeah, like you evaluate the market and you find inefficiencies and you find values. And if you hit on a guy in the seventh round, you're not lucky. It's like, no, they drafted him. They weren't lucky to draft George Kittle in the fifth round. They weren't lucky to draft Fred Warner in the third. They weren't lucky to draft Debo. It's like when you have a track record of drafting players outside the first round who end up turning into really good players, you can't argue that if it happens again with a quarterback in the seventh round that, oh, that's luck.
I kind of wonder what would have happened if Shanahan had taken that, what we just heard from Jed York, if he had taken that to its logical conclusion and been like, all right, Brock Purdy's the starter for week one. I'm super interested in what that would look like. Not from a media standpoint, an outrage standpoint, and what are they doing and this and that. Like, not from that. But what does Purdy look like? Does he look like he did against Miami? Or does he look like he did against the Chiefs, where he was awful in mop-up duty in week, what was that, 7?
I have very little recollection of that game.
Purdy did not look good. He like threw an interception in the end zone at the end.
Yep.
It was not great. But the pass that Jed's talking about, I think, was supposed to be a deep out, and he just sailed it like over the bench.
Yeah.
It was ugly. So is that just how it would have looked? Like, did Purdy getting to sit out the first 12 weeks or 12 games ultimately help? I don't know.
But I have a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Say Trey Lance never gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Does Brock Purdy, like, does Trey Lance play so poorly that Brock Purdy ends up replacing him at some point? Or does Trey Lance improve with the reps that he gets and turns into a viable winning starting quarterback?
I'm sticking with what I've said the entire time. I think he would have improved.
I think Trey Lance would have been good.
If you watch, and I know it's not apples to apples because Jordan Love got all those years to sit, but go watch Jordan Love in the first couple preseason games and the first couple regular season games, and then go watch him over the last 6 weeks of the year. There is a dramatic improvement. I think we would have seen that from Trey. That's just what I think.
I think so too. Because like,
so did the 49ers make a mistake trading Trey Lance? No.
I would make the case that Trey Lance's camp made the mistake by desperately wanting out, if that's indeed what happened.
Right.
Because he went from being the third stringer to being the third stringer.
Yeah.
He didn't massively upgrade his situation. You could even make the case he became the third stringer behind a worse starting quarterback.
Well, that's for the Cowboys podcast to tap into. Rob just coming in here firing shots at you, dude. That's crazy.
I mean, why? Because we both wear hats and hoodies and glasses.
Yeah.
I think if you've seen Kyle and I in person, I don't think people like mistaken us for brothers or would say
no.
We're brothers.
It's got a real like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito vibe.
I wouldn't go that far.
On a podcast, I get it though. On a podcast, I could see.
Yeah,
I'm a pretty like generic looking guy.
These little windows. I probably should. I mean, full disclosure, it's been a long travel day for your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, and even like if you watch the videos, I don't often dress up. Like I wear a hat and a hoodie because I don't feel like doing hair, like looking presentable.
Same.
I'm just like, this is just kind of the Maybe I shouldn't admit this, and maybe I should just like put more effort into, you know, being presentable on this video streaming platform. But
that's why I love a Lamb Chops hoodie, though, is because it is presentable.
Fair.
Can I tell you my prize picks for I don't have any football to make an entry with. So I didn't
have
one.
They didn't do Pro Bowl prize picks.
I don't believe so. Let me check here.
What a missed opportunity.
I don't see any Pro Bowl prize picks. So I'm just doing
NBA. Because they do a flag football game, right?
Yes. Okay. I'm guessing it's just impossible to try and create stat projections for that. So if you're unfamiliar with prize picks, it's daily fantasy sports. it is 2 to 6 players, and you pick more or less on their stat projections. You're not playing against sharp guys, you're not playing against like 1,000 other players to try and win a couple bucks. Like, nah, man, you create your entry where you pick more or less on each projection, and then you watch the winnings roll in. So I went with the NBA. I went all Utah v the 76ers. I have Tobias Harris more than 33 points, rebounds, and assists. I have Kelly Oubre less than 24.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I'm going to go Lauri Markkanen more than 34.5 points, boards, and assists. And I'm going to go Kelly Olynyk more than 6 points. And right now, and it looks like if I'm doing the math right, up until the Super Bowl, you can get Patrick Mahomes' projection at half a passing yard for the Super Bowl. Half a passing yard. So I tacked that onto my entry as well. It won't convey tonight because it'll have to wait until the Super Bowl. But I will take a free W with Patrick Mahomes at more than half a passing yard. I'm putting that on all my entries moving forward.
I think that's probably the move. I think that's fair.
Thanks. PrizePicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is PrizePicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. It is my favorite way to watch sports. Get in there in time for the Super Bowl, create some entries for the Super Bowl, and enhance your enjoyment of the big game, whether you are a 49er fan or not. PrizePicks.com. Daily fantasy sports made easy. I'm done now.
Drool in the YouTube chat.
The great
Niners up 10 in the fourth again. Is this team blowing it? I mean,
yes. No. Can I tell you why I think they
that would? Would that be the worst way for them to lose this?
Yes.
For them to have a
yes.
lead and then blow it?
It's not even
would
close.
That be
it's
worse?
Not even close.
Would that be worse than just getting boat raced like the Baltimore game?
Yeah. If they lost 33-19, that would be significantly easier to digest than blowing a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. It's not even close. Because
yeah, okay.
now that's a thing with Kyle Shanahan.
It's been a thing with Kyle Shanahan.
I don't
already.
Blame it. He was the offensive coordinator in the 28th. He's the only offensive coordinator who's ever gotten blamed for a loss ever in the history of ever. So it would be two head coaches in two Super Bowls as a head coach where his team smokes a 10-point lead. That'd be a tough scene. So
Not to mention the NFC Championship game against the Rams, too.
Oh, that's another good one. That one's tough because they were up 10 going into the fourth quarter, but the Rams had the ball at like the 1 to start the fourth quarter. And I think punched it in on the first play. But anyways,
Kyle should have coached Jaquaski Tart better when it came to making easy interceptions.
Right. Players get in position themselves, but you have to be the one that catches it.
Yeah. Shanahan
coaching.
Yeah. Shanahan dropped the ball on that one.
Nice, dude. Come on. Come on. So, yeah, I think they wouldn't, because for them to be up 10 on this Chiefs team, I think it means they're probably running the ball pretty effectively. And given how the last Super Bowl went, I do not think we would see Kyle Shanahan abandon the run the way he did in the previous Chiefs game. That's the biggest, yeah, I think, lesson for him out of that, was to stick with the run game when it's working. It might be 2nd and 9, run it again. That's, I think, kind of what we'd see in that spot this time.
That's why Christian McCaffrey, like, we talk about him and his ability to, like, break 6-yard runs against 10-man boxes.
Yep.
And, like, horrible run looks. It's like, that's probably why, one of the biggest reasons why Kyle Shanahan wanted him so badly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think
as good as Raheem Mostert was, he was very good at, like, the outside zone. And that was kind of their bag.
Yeah, Raheem Mostert didn't have as many clubs in the bag, so to speak, as Christian McCaffrey does.
Nope.
Do you think the 28-3 game is the reason why Kyle Shanahan is super conservative as a play caller, particularly when he has the lead?
Yeah.
Probably, yes. Right?
I don't know if it's the reason, but I think it definitely planted those seeds, or helped plant those seeds. For sure.
When the Niners hired Kyle Shanahan and he had his introductory press conference, he had to field like 4 or 5 questions about that.
Totally insane. The defense gave up like 472 yards in the second half.
Yeah. It's very easy to blame the coach when the players screw up. I think that's something that happens probably too often in sports. It's like the players screw up and it's like suddenly the coach's fault. The players are like these infallible heroes sometimes who like can't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's a very definable mistake, like Kyle Williams dropping punts, fumbling punts, or
sure,
what's his name on the Lions dropping passes. It's like very easy to blame those players. But when players like do nuanced or like have nuanced missed assignments that we can't easily discern as the football viewing public, the mm-hmm. first thing we do is blame the coaches, where it's like, nah, man, if offensive lineman X just like makes his block a little bit better, then the play works. But
yeah,
instead it's a holding penalty that takes the team out of field goal range and then starts this cascade of events that leads to losing the game.
Like, do you know,
all on the coach.
The Patriots in that fourth quarter, because remember, they went, it was 28-9 going into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots in the fourth quarter had 263 yards of offense.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's nutty. 263 yards in a quarter, dude.
It's funny you should mention that, because Dan Quinn got named the Durs head coach today.
I'm sorry, 201. My math is bad. 201 yards in the fourth quarter. Only
Dan Quinn was the Falcons head coach, right?
Yes, he was.
Okay,
dude, the Durs were scrambling. They thought for sure they were getting Ben Johnson.
I think everybody thought they were getting Ben Johnson.
Yeah, and then they're like, Dan Quinn, I guess. Like, why not just keep Ron Rivera at that point?
It does feel like a different version of Ron Rivera.
Yeah,
why not Vrabel?
I have no did. Mike Vrabel must just be a real, like, dick. Like, he must be real tough to work with.
I was really surprised. I mean, you could... the Belichick thing is a completely different conversation, because he's probably still a guy who wants, like, control over the entire operation.
Uh-huh.
Where Adam Peters is like, nah, I'm not going to hire Bill Belichick, you know, to be my head coach, like, right, and supersede every decision I make.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting... I don't know, like, because Rand Carthen, the Titans GM, obviously used to be with the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Peters, the Durs GM, obviously used, like, was with the Niners for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's like a similar line of thinking or personality dynamic that they're like, yeah, we're not really of that ilk trying to hire, what's his name? Mike Vrabel.
Maybe.
God, I'm so tired, man. Like Mike Vrabel's name just completely left my head despite talking about him like 10 seconds ago.
It sounds like that's what every
the guy who was
they were interviewed him for head coach.
Heyo.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Subscribe to the we're done. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Candlestick Chronicles podcast, or just search Candlestick Chronicles on YouTube. You'll find us. Subscribe. Please like our videos. It helps us with the algorithm. And that helps people see our videos and allows us to continue doing this stuff. We appreciate the heck out of it. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Also, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, this is out in audio form as well. Wherever you get your pods, Candlestick Chronicles, subscribe, rate, and review. We will see you next week to begin the Super Bowl previews for real. See you, everybody.
For real, for real.
For real, for real. Dead ass. It's giving Super Bowl.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.